Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Amen. You've heard of William Shakespeare, I'm sure, and his play entitled The Taming of the Shrew. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about something far more important than that, the taming of the tongue. Jesus and God the Father want us to learn to speak righteous words, good words, true words, words that are pleasing in God's sight, and to avoid those evil words, you know, the ones that bite, that are double-tongued, that come out sideways, that hurt one another, wound one another, hurt God, and they can even kill our neighbors. Yes, words are very powerful. And we're starting, we started last week the sermon series on the sanctification of the body. Last week we talked about the sanctification of the ears, hearing God's word. Today we're talking about the sanctification of this part of your body, the lips, the mouth. Very, very important. There's, in fact, no other part of the body that has done such damage in this world and that has grieved God's heart more, I think, than these two little things that flap up and down. Out of them come forth blessings to God and curses toward man. This ought not to be so, my brethren, says James. So we're going to talk today about having holy words, lips that are sanctified to God, mouths that pour forth a fountain of life and not death to others. And this is of the utmost importance to us because words are indeed extremely powerful. God has made it this way, and I know this not only from my own experience, you know it from your experience, how words can hurt, how they can build up, but I also know this from God's Word. Let's take a look at a few of these scriptures that speak about the power of your tongue, of the words that come out. Proverbs 18, verse 21, God says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And then in Proverbs 15, verse 4, it says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Breaks the spirit. Wow. And then in Psalm 64, David says this. He says, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the scheming of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear." A couple of years ago, I preached a sermon similar to this on our words and how we ought to speak. And if you'll recall, I used an illustration of arrows. I'd like to resurrect that illustration for you today. I'm bringing them back for your refreshment in the faith. Let's take a look. Remember these? If you were here a couple of years ago, we talked about how, as it says here in Psalm 64, words are like arrows. Once they are notched to your tongue, hauled back on the drawstring of your lips and let fly, you can't get them back again. Once you've spoken, they are gone and they hit their mark wherever you intended it. And there are basically two kinds of arrows that come forth from our lips. There are the white ones. These are the ones that bring forth healing, that go forth to put life into somebody, that can actually, they are tipped with medicine, that when they go deep into the heart, they can actually correct a soul. They can lead it along the paths of life. They can pour into it health and healing, also even into the body. As it's written, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." Also, though, there are the black words. These are far more common. If you could just see arrows instead of words out there in the world, what do you think you'd see people doing? Going to McDonald's or at Publix, their quivers are full of black arrows notched on the bowstring of their lips and firing at each other. I see this all the time, and I know in my own lips, of course, as the scripture says of all of us, there are many black arrows tipped with poison. You go to Walmart and you see a mother putting down her child, saying, you're stupid, you never obey, you're this, you're that, lodging into their heart so that by the time they get to be adults, they're coming out with shaft after shaft after shaft, just hurting from these tips. And even if you can break off these arrows and snap them, yet the tip still remains in us and can bleed out poison into our souls for years to come. Think of some of the words that have been spoken to you in harm when you were young. Maybe someone said you're fat or you're stupid or you'll never amount to anything or you'll never quite measure up was the invisible sort of side-edged, double-tongued word that came from somebody in authority over you that you loved and wanted to have approval from. So these words are very powerful. If you can just imagine what kinds of words are pouring forth from your mouths day in and day out. If God looks down and sees arrows, are they black ones tipped with medicine and life, or are they the black ones tipped with poison that go forth to cut down and wound? And man, sometimes we can trick ourselves on these things too, can't we? You think, oh, I'm just saying this for your uplifting, for your benefit. But really, it's got a side-edged blackness to it. Whatever. Boy, it sure is nice when you take out the trash. I said something nice to you. No, really, you're saying I don't take out the trash, that kind of thing. So there are all these kinds of words. What God wants for us, though, is that our words would be always and wholly these white ones that are just pure love. And that's really what it is, love being sent and fired into each other's hearts to build up, to heal, to wound, and to strengthen. Why does God want your hearts to be all white like this? And why does he want your words that are coming forth from these lips to be pouring these out? Answer is because those are the ones that come out of God's lips. That's who he is. Every word of God is pure. As it says in the Psalms of wisdom, it says, all the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted, crooked, or perverse in them. Proverbs 30 says this, every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Numbers 23 says, God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken and will he not do it? Or has he said and will he not fulfill it? Proverbs 12, verse 6 says, the promises of the Lord are promises that are pure. Silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. So these are the words that God wants coming forth from our lips. And we're talking about the sanctification of your tongues today, how to tame the tongue so that we would stop pouring out these toward one another, which destroy families, marriages, and churches, and even everybody in the world. How this must grieve God, you know? Think if you were, well, don't want to be blasphemous here, but if you were God, and you were this holy, perfect God who poured forth perfection from his lips, and you looked down on the earth, and all you saw were black arrows flying day by day into the hearts from husband to wife and to children to parents, parents to children, friends to friends, friends to enemies, to acquaintances, to so-called friends, all these in the darkness being fired, how that would grieve your heart. Well, God tells us what it's like for him in Jeremiah chapter 9. He says, oh, this is God speaking, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had it in the desert, a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow, and falsehood and truth has grown strong in the land. They proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Wow. God looks down and he says, this is what I see. They're bending their tongues like a bow, shooting at each other, going in. And You know, you actually feel like that. You may have a good face when someone gives you a cutting comment, but inside you're like, oh, that was good. Yeah, thank you for that one, honey. We don't want to have black words. We want to have white words. But Jesus came in order to save us from these things. As he told Pilate in John 18, "For this I was born, and for this I'm come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is God's white arrow. Just like it says in Isaiah, it says, "He made a polished arrow he made me, and in his quiver he hid me away." This is God's white arrow for the world to bring us righteousness and life. And may it be fulfilled in us, which was fulfilled in him. Isaiah 50, verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary." Would you like that to be said of you? To be able to sustain with a word one that is weary? Well, let's learn about black and white arrows today. Again, and let's talk about the black arrows first. What do we got to watch out for as Christians, as God's people in the world? Number one, you want to watch out for rash words, words that come out quickly. A word that quickly flies from the tongue. When you reach into your quiver, you're often going to pull out one of these, right? That's why James says, "Know this, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." It's hard to convince you that when you're angry, but the quick words that come out, if you reach back quickly for an arrow, you're likely going to pull out one of these. So you want to be slow to speak. I learned this in my first year of marriage. Beth and I, praise God, are so blessed these days. First year of marriage, I memorized this word from Proverbs 10, and I found it very helpful. Verse 9 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is prudent." And then in Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." If you can't think of something nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so when you are tempted to speak quickly, when you're in anger and that flashes across your heart and mind, best thing to do is not fire anything at all. With all God's help of his Spirit, just shut up those lips until your heart is right. So we want to do that. Another one is the harsh, loud words. You know when the volume gets up more and more? What happens there? The other person's more and more offended, and the higher the volume a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, the blacker the arrows. So when you're tempted to be into an argument with a spouse or children or a friend or even an enemy, think about this one from Proverbs 15:1. It says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Did you hear that we got a dog this week in my family? I have been the restraining force in the family for a long time. With respect, I mean, if it were not for me, we'd have 1,000 animals in our house, all rescues from some death row of some animal hospital. That's just how Beth pours a compassion out. But for years, I've been saying, "No, not yet, no, not yet, no, not yet," for another dog. She wants a little cuddly one. But this week, we got a dog. And the thing that got me was a soft word from her. Because she wrote me this letter, this little email, just of a dog she thought she might like. We actually got a different one, but it just so melted me. She honored me as the head of the house. She said, "I know your decision is as it will be, and she gave me that respect, but she said, "But this has been my heart, and this is the one I've been dreaming of." And it was so sweet and soft. That soft word was powerful. And as it says in Proverbs 25:15, "With patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." Think about that. The hardest of things can be broken with a soft word. So we want to speak soft words to one another, especially in the heat of an argument. get quieter with your voice because it turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. Here's another one, though, which is just plain outright lies, black as sin. And even the double-edged, double-tongued sort of lies, where you're claiming to say something good, but really it's not. And God is very serious about all these. In Colossians 3, he says, "In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed after the knowledge of after the image of its creator." Look, there's no such thing as a white lie for a Christian. When lies come out of your mouth, remember what it says in 1 John chapter 2, no lie is of the truth. And remember the story of this legendary one from the Hindu religion, where a Hindu god made an arrow that would kill around flying, killing people. But after it killed everyone in the vicinity and on the earth, it came back and pursued the god who made it. And he spent the rest of his life running around from the arrow that he had sent after others. Well, God is not mocked. When we fire these at each other, ultimately what happens is we're firing them at ourselves. Let no lie come from your mouths, for that's what the devil does. Jesus said in John 8, when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is the liar and the father of lies. Yes, you're of your father, the devil. And remember, God judges us according to our words. There's a day coming upon which he'll judge the world. And he says this in Matthew 12, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Is that a fearful word to you? Does that put the dread of the Lord into you? You'll be justified or condemned on the basis of what comes forth from your mouth, bearing witness to whether there is faith in your heart. And Proverbs 20 says, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth is full of gravel." So let's put away those things from us. And one more about these black arrows. The worst and most dread for churches, I think, is this one: gossip. This divides churches more than anything else. These words spoken in secret, in the darkness, when you claim to be speaking something, even a truth. You know, you're not lying, but you're telling a truth that God would rather you be shut up about, that you would rather keep your trap closed about a truth that's going on in the neighbor's life. Have you been part of churches that have been divided in this way? Well, remember what James says. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. Is there any of that in this church? I pray not, and I don't know about it, but that's the nature of gossip. You can't know, right? It's secretive. But if you are doing any of those things, put that away. That'll destroy us faster than anything else. A little arrow tipped with just enough flame, a match to set ablaze a whole acreage of God's people. It'll happen. I've seen it happen, those kinds of things. A little word here or there. Grumbling against a fellow member or against me or our leadership. What do you do instead? You go and you speak the word straight to the person if they've done wrong, and say, "Hey, I think this is not right." Instead of going, "Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did?" "No, yes, oh." And all of a sudden, the whole church is divided over it. Satan works in darkness. If your words have to be in secret and you don't want them to be out in the open, that's where he loves to work, in the shadows, lurking about. He can twist words in the darkness so much you won't know which way is up. So we want to make sure our words are out in the open. And Aesop tells a fable about four bulls who were great friends, and a lion was after them. But the lion couldn't get them because they were together. until he figured this scheme. When one of the bulls was lagging behind each day, he'd whisper, "Your friends are plotting against you." And he'd duck back into the bushes. He did that to all of them until they started to believe these lies. In the dark, they were suspicious of each other, divided eventually, and then he had them one by one, four good meals. Well, the devil wants to do these same things with us. Pick you apart, side by side, no longer as a group, but just a few here and there. Let's talk about what's going on at church. No. If you have a problem, that's good. Come and talk with me. Come and talk with the person that offends you. And listen to these words of Jesus when he says, "Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." In Ecclesiastes, "Even in your thought do not curse the king, nor in your bedchamber curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter." And Luther says, "If you were really his friend, you'd keep silent about his sins and not circulate the misfortune of your neighbor with such pleasure and delight. In fact, you would convert your damned displeasure into pity and mercy. You would excuse him, shield him, silence others, pray God for him, admonish him fraternally, and help him rise again. For as it says in Proverbs, it's the glory of man to pass over a transgression." You got me? Let's not have any fires in here. Remember Smokey the Bear? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you. So let's be careful about those things. But you might be saying, after all these, I've shot a lot of black arrows in my life, and believe me, we all have. And it's sick, isn't it? The wounds that we have, even to those whom we love the most with our hearts, it comes out sideways, even under the pretense of righteousness, and you hurt your spouse, or you hurt your friends. Not good. But you know what? That's why Jesus came, to redeem you, to sanctify you, to make you holy again. And in Isaiah 6, he sees the Lord in all his glory, says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Then one of the seraphim flew, took tongs and a coal from the altar, and he says, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." If you believe in Christ, your sins are forgiven. Confess these things. He'll have mercy on you. And then live righteously. And then, how then do we do this? Here's three things you can do to have holy lips in your life. Okay? Number one is guard your mouth as your most prized possession. Be vigilant and pray. For James says, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things." Remember the Bismarck, World War II? Great Nazi warship, impregnable, impenetrable, went out and sunk the HMS Hood in 10 minutes. But a single plane from the RAF came in and got a torpedo to hit their rudder. They did circles for a whole day or a day and a half until the British fleet caught up and destroyed them and sank them. The great pride of Hitler's fleet. Well, in the same way, your tongue must be guarded. This one little rudder is enough to destroy your life. You got me? Guard it. Set a guard over it. And the way to do that is through prayer. Psalm 141, David says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." But then again, you might say, "Well, I can't do that because no human being can tame the tongue." You know what? Whatever is in your heart is going to eventually come out, as much as you try to keep it from that. If there's evil in your heart, you can be sure it's going to fire from the lips. So what do you need to do next? The next thing you need to do is fill your quiver with white arrows. So even in a rash moment, you reach back quickly, and what do you grab? 99 of these. There's only one left of these. So the one you reach back quickly for is still a thing of beauty. You want to fill your quiver with good things. For Jesus says, "How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So what's in your quiver today? Is your quiver full of black arrows? Then believe me, you, it's going to be coming. Oh boy, watch out. If you got black arrows in your quiver, if you could just send a little note up in the collection today, that way I'll be sure to stay away from you. Okay? If you have a quiver full of them, they're going to be coming. But what you want to do is be meditating upon God's word. Let his gospel cleanse your heart. Be thinking on those things that are lovely and excellent. And God is going to be making these shafts for you of medicine so that your heart is so full of these arrows, they're going to be coming all day long. People love to be around you. Oh, I love this person because every time I go there, he goes, phew, phew, phew. Oh, and it feels so good. It's healing. It's making me alive and strong and good again. So, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then lastly, third, it's not just the word in your heart, although that's most important, but even better, it's Christ in your heart, a person, Jesus Christ himself. He says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that wonderful? God living inside you. And John 14 again, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If the Spirit of truth is living inside your heart, then the Spirit of truth will come forth from your lips. So we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in prayer and praise and thanksgiving and meditation upon God's word. And when he lives inside you, every word will be coming out like this. No human being can tame the tongue, but God can. And when he is in you, oh, how blessed your life will be. For he who guards his lips preserves his life, and God will guard and keep you. And in conclusion, I'm thankful today that this God who's come to live in me and in you has made it so that I can confess from these lips, Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God my Father. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you're my Savior. He is the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. That's my faith. And I proclaim it in the midst of the great congregation. And with you, I proclaim him as Lord and King of this earth. That's the best word that can come. And what is proceeding from my lips right now, if you could see it, huh? Right here is a righteous holy word. Jesus is Lord. Praise be to God, my Savior, who died to redeem me and make me his own. Therefore, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, my soul also, which thou hast rescued, and my tongue will tell of thy righteous help all the day long. Amen. Please stand and let's now send forth those words of purity in the words of our confession, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 8. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.